Welcome to the teaching ministry of Pastor Jay Eberle. Get ready to be empowered through the understanding of God's Word.
Amen. We're going to talk about your body, the temple of the Holy Spirit, and we're going to talk about it in the light of keeping your temple fit for the King. Amen. Keeping your body, which is the temple of the Holy Ghost, keeping it fit for a King. Amen. You know who the King is, don't you? Praise the Lord. King Jesus. Amen. Body says your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. You're not your own. You're bought with a price, you know. It says glorify God with your body. Amen. Amen. Let's dive into this together. Amen. Have you found Philippians, the second chapter? Philippians, the second chapter. We find here a man who the Bible tells us about was overworked and almost died. His name was, I believe it was Epaphroditus here, if I remember right. The Bible talks about him taking care of Paul. Let's just start verse 25. This is the second chapter of Philippians. It says, "Yet I suppose it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother, and companion in labor, and fellow soldier, but your messenger, and he that ministered to my wants." He was, you know, making up for things that other people weren't able to do or weren't doing or whatever. He was taking care of Paul. And he said, Paul went on to say, "For he longed after you all and was full of heaviness because that you had heard that he had been sick. And indeed he was sick, nigh unto death, but God had" what?
Mercy.
"Mercy on him." How many of you know mercy is for whenever a person makes a mistake? Mercy is not for, you know, just somebody that's done the right things. Mercy is for people that make mistakes. "So God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow." In other words, if he would have died, you know, he's such a blessing. Paul was saying he's such a blessing to me. If he would have died, you know, that would have been a great loss for me. So he said, I sent him therefore the more carefully, that when you see him again, you may rejoice, and that I may be the less sorrowful. Receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such in reputation, because for the work of Christ he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life to supply your lack of service towards me." For the work of Christ he was nigh unto death. Isn't that right? Now he's telling us we ought to recognize people that are working and working hard, but it did say that he was working too hard and that he had to have mercy and that he worked himself so hard that he got sick. How many of you know, in the old time days, Pentecostal preachers used to say, well, you know, because they were just working all the time. A lot of them would die prematurely. I don't know if you've ever noticed in the healing revival, even many healing evangelists died prematurely. People use that to say, well, it's not God's will that, everybody be healed. Look at that. Well, there's natural laws as well as spiritual laws. And one of the natural laws is you can't overwork. Overwork, wearing yourself out, is going to cause you to die prematurely. And God has a course for you to run, and God wants you to finish that course. And so, of course, there's always two sides of a thing. You talk about overwork and people that are lazy. They think that's right, and they don't do anything. There's always two sides. But, you know, most people can understand both sides. And God wants me to take up this other side, where if a person overworks, they work too much, they're going to burn out. Your body's still mortal. I don't know if you've recognized that or not yet, but it's still mortal, meaning it's subject to death. You could wear it out. You could abuse it, and you can violate natural principles that keep it healthy. And, you can die prematurely, not necessarily because you didn't have faith per se, but really because you didn't have wisdom.
Amen.
Amen. So there's more to health and living healthy, which is the plan of God for our lives. There's more to it than just, you know, believing God, exercising authority, and so forth and so on. There is this area of using our wisdom and not violating natural laws. There are natural laws. For example, you can't eat rat poison and then believe God to stay alive. You know what I'm talking about. Well, same thing true with other things you might put in your body. It might not do the damage as quick as rat poison. But yet, right on the other hand, you got to take care of your physical body. Old-time preachers in the Pentecostal era, you know, in the healing revival, they used to say, well, you know, I'd rather burn out than rust out. You know, meaning I'd rather die working for Jesus real hard, die early, than, you know, die because I'm not doing anything.
Right.
You know, just rusting out, just sitting around doing nothing. Well, the truth is you don't have to do either one of them.
Amen.
It sounded good at the time. How many of you know things sound good sometimes? But you don't have to do either one of them. Here it says this man had to have mercy for the work of Christ. He was nigh unto death, not regarding his life to supply your lack of service towards me. How many of you know you cannot make everybody else's supply that they're supposed to be supplying? You just do what God told you to do. This guy was saying, well, nobody else is helping, so I'm going to do their job and my job. Well, we understand, we can appreciate, and the Bible talks about hold such in reputation. We can appreciate, you know, people that work hard and everything. But we all have a point to where we have to say, I have to rest.
Yes.
Isn't that right?
Yes.
Can you say amen to that?
Yes.
Now, the Phillips translation, I don't have the translation written down. I apologize about that. But one translation says, he drew nigh unto death, having recklessly exposed his body.
Right. Wow.
Amen. So in other words, he had given opportunity for Satan to take over because he was overworked. He burned himself out. And thank God, God had mercy on him. But I'm sure that he had to learn, okay, don't go to that point again. Don't push yourself to that point again.
Amen.
Well, you know, God never intended for us. We do have faith. We thank God for the faith of God and so forth. And faith is what receives. But God never intended for us to be using our faith for things that a lack of wisdom caused to bring into our life. You know, God intends for us to have faith and wisdom. I don't know if you ever noticed in the Helps Ministry qualifications in the sixth chapter of Acts, the Bible said, look ye out of men, you seven men of honest report, full of wisdom and of the Holy Ghost. Remember that? So God wanted people to have wisdom, not just be full of zeal, because zeal is a good thing, you know. But you can have zeal without any wisdom and not be really getting ahead physically at all. I used to be that way. And when I was traveling on the road, I almost burnt myself out, you know. But I had to learn God wants you to rest. He told me the way he said it to me, you know, was he said to me, talking about, because I grew up in high school being a sprinter. I would run 100-yard dash and so forth. And I was quick on the short runs, but I wasn't a long runner. I couldn't last very long. And the Lord would, because that was the way I, you know, kind of got started in life and ministry. I just, you know, okay, hurry up, hurry up. I was going to get everything done by tomorrow, you know. I was going to get the whole world saved by tomorrow night. You know, I was just running like crazy. And God said to me one day, he said, this is not a sprint, it's a marathon.
Amen.
You know, in other words, I'm giving you the rest of your life to get the job done that I've called you to do.
Amen.
Amen. So I've had to learn to pace myself. And so there are some natural laws. Say that, there are some natural laws. We have to realize that. There are some things that you can't violate. For example, you can't stand on a wet puddle and touch electricity. I mean, we can't just say, well, I'm a faith man. I'm not going to die. I'm going to believe God. Well, you can't just knowingly violate natural laws and then just think faith is going to override that. Amen? So you can't jump off of the house without breaking your leg, you know. I don't know about you, but every now and then I just need to see something funny. So I go on YouTube and I just click in and I just type in funny. And I look at funny accidents. Those are some of my favorite funny accidents. People do some of the stupidest things. Then they wonder why they end up in the hospital. You know, I'm going to get up on the second story of the house and I'm going to jump on the trampoline from the second story of the house. And they come out, yeah, boom, and they break their leg, you know. Well, see, sometimes people think, well, I'm a person of faith, so bless God, you know, I'm just going to do this. And well, you got to watch. There are some natural laws. One of them is called gravity. Amen. And the same thing's true with the way you eat. Now, I just look up this to the ceiling. I won't look at anybody. Pastor, you didn't have to say this right after Christmas, did you? No. Amen. God's plan that every living thing be nourished, but it has to be nourished with something God planned for it to eat. You understand, a lot of foods we eat today are so processed. And you ever looked at the labels on some of the things you eat? You know, the first few things you understand, flour, sugar, you know. And then all the rest of them look like Zugugubamasia, and then Zayadimazuya, and then, I mean, all they are is chemicals.
That's right.
Most of what they are is chemicals, and most of them aren't natural. How many of you understand this? Praise the Lord. That your body is a natural thing, and it needs things of the same kind of natural substance to eat, or it's not going to know what to do with it. Do you realize that a person cannot eat much because, you know, they're trying to cut back on how much they eat, but if they're eating the wrong things, your body doesn't recognize it. And so there are a lot of things that if the body doesn't recognize it, it says, huh, what is that? I don't know. Let's store it away in case we ever need it. And you're not eating a lot, maybe, but you're always hungry because you're not nourished. Just because you ate a lot doesn't mean you're nourished. See, you could eat the whole cardboard box that your flat screen TV came in this Christmas. You could eat the whole cardboard box. You would eat a lot, but you wouldn't get any nourishment out of it.
That's right.
That glue in there and that paper's not nourishment. You understand? So you can eat a lot and not get any nourishment, still be hungry. But if you eat things that your body was designed to process, you won't have to eat as much. You won't be as hungry. And if you eat a lot of things that are like chemicals and man-made processed things, a lot of natural things that were maybe fine, man has processed and refined. Sugars and fats and stuff like that. Hello? Amen. Don't shout me down because I'm preaching real good. That wasn't designed for your body to process. So it'll say, I don't know what that is. It'll store it away. Maybe you can't understand why you're having struggles, but it's because the things you eat are not things, and you might be gaining weight, not because you're eating a lot, but because you're eating things the body doesn't recognize. And it stores it away in fat cells. Did you know that? It just stores it away. So you begin to gain weight. Amen. Maybe you don't want to gain weight, so you might have to understand some of these kinds of things. Praise the Lord. So God designed every living thing to be nourished, but He's not the one that's going to feed your body. You're going to be the one that feeds your body. And you're going to have to be feeding it after making decisions based on wisdom. Everybody say wisdom is a good thing. So what you put into your body can affect the cells of your body. You know, for example, you know, a person, your body needs a lot of oxygen. You know, for example, if your brain, it needs a whole lot of oxygen to function. Have you ever just, you might experience this over Christmas time. And a lot of these things we think, well, I'm going to believe God. Well, yeah, but there's some natural things to it as well. You know, you get, I say you, we all probably did. I don't mean just you, but you get kind of over Christmas time, you're just sitting around a lot and eating a lot. And you kind of feel lethargic. You kind of want to take more naps. You know, you ever notice that? You know why that is? It's because of a lack of oxygen. Maybe somebody ate too much. I know I did. But also just a lack of oxygen. And you get out and you take a brisk walk in the nice cool air and breathe in some real good air. Before you know it, your brain is even working better. You're not as sleepy, you're more alert. Or you can just do this. Here's something that you can just practice if you don't want to go outside in the cold. Just take, just for 5 or 10 minutes, just hold it, take a real deep breath, hold it for a while and let it out. And eventually you'll get enough oxygen in there. Before you know it, you're awake again. Write that down. Some of you didn't realize that. Yes. See, because you're just lacking oxygen.
Right.
And exercise really pumps a lot more oxygen into your... And so you'll be more alert and you won't be as tired.
Yes.
Thank you for your enthusiasm. Yes. But see, there are some natural things that like, for example, people smoke cigarettes. And I'm not here to... This is not a clothesline sermon or a cigarette sermon either. Or a sermon on diet. We're going to get into some things. It's about all about the living out of your spirit, you know. But really, take for example, smoking cigarettes. Cigarette smoke is called a carcinogenic. Am I saying that right? What does that mean? Anybody know what that means? Something that doesn't have oxygen in it. Well, see, your body needs oxygen, and if you're pumping in something that doesn't have any oxygen in it, guess what that's going to do to your body? And then people say, well, I'm going to have to believe God. Well, God never intended for you to have to believe Him for things that a lack of wisdom produced in your life. Amen. That's better preaching than your amen. Amen. Man-made foods a lot of times are not really natural. And your body doesn't work right. Just like your car, you put in fuel or gas that has things in it that were not intended to be in your car, that your car doesn't burn, it won't run right. You ever gotten a bad tank of gas? We have on the trip, you know, traveling around the country sometimes. We've done it, I think, twice. Got bad tank of gas. And just the car just wouldn't run right. Just, you know, just wasn't hitting right. Well, the same thing's true with your body. If you're putting the wrong things in, it won't run right. Amen. And sometimes people have knee trouble because they're carrying too much weight. Well, pray for my knees. Well, it's not about that. It's that the knees weren't intended to carry that much weight. Praise the Lord. I'm just looking at the lights. I'm not looking at anybody. I'm not here. I'm on your side, you know. I'm just trying to help you practically think through some of these things. Really, what we're not talking about going on a diet either. We're going to get into this as we go. It's going to be a lifestyle change. Amen. A lot of processed things, a lot of chemicals, a lot of things are going into our food nowadays. You realize if it wasn't a food 100 years ago, it probably shouldn't go in your body today. 100 years ago, they just get it out of the garden and eat it, you know, or go out to the pasture and shoot it, or go out in the woods and shoot it. I believe that's good doctrine. Go out in the woods and shoot it. Good doctrine. But today, I mean, we get all our food. Most people get all their food out of a box and out of a can. You know what I'm talking about? Amen. You didn't expect this morning, did you? I didn't want to do it either. So if you don't like it, take it up with the head of the church. So apply spiritual truths to the area of weight loss. We're not talking about a diet. We're talking about a lifestyle. God never intended for you to go on a crash diet and lose a bunch of weight and then go back to your normal way of living. You know, that's not. The Bible talks about faith and patience. Patience is the force of your human spirit that enables you to be constant. Constance. What patience is endurance. It means constance. In other words, God wants you to live a constant pattern of the way you live the right way, not just diets. And then, you know, that they even tell you that kind of thing's not even healthy. Going on a diet, losing all the weight, and then getting... Just live a lifestyle of eating right. Amen. Praise the Lord. Say amen if you can. So until we put these spiritual principles into practice, you know, it's going to be affecting our natural lives. God wants you to finish your course. Amen. How many of you have never noticed, you never see 70-year-old obese people? They don't live to see their grandkids and their great-grandkids. See, it's just a natural thing. It's not necessarily spiritual, although the root of it is spiritual. Because of not living in the fruit of the Spirit. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. So what you put into your spirit determines your spiritual health, doesn't it? You know, you can't have a diet of religion, man-made thinking, politics, and things like that feed your spirit. That's going to affect your spiritual health. You're going to have to, what you put in your mind is going to affect your mental and emotional health, you know. You can't just be worrying and stressed out and anxious all the time. And then what you also put in your body is going to affect your physical health. Yeah. Amen. Amen. So praise the Lord. Now we've got to be nourished in our bodies. The Bible says our bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost. You realize you're just a guest in your body. This is not the real you. It's the house you live in, you know. You live in a temple, and the Bible says we're to glorify God. In fact, go over there. Let's go over to 1 Corinthians, I believe it is. Praise the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter number, let's see here. I thought it was the third chapter. Where are we going? The sixth chapter is where it is. 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. He says some interesting things here. Verse number 19. What know you not? That your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you. Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God. And you are not your own. Oh, there it is. You don't belong to yourself. Your body is given to you as a place to live down here on this earth. You know, you only get one. You wear this one out, you can't stay down here and do anything else. You got to go to heaven. You understand that? You wear this one out. So your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, and it's you are not your own, for you are bought with a price. Now, what part of you is bought with a price? Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So really, he's talking about our body and our spirit there. Of course, our mind also belongs to God. But here he's saying the body and the spirit are bought with a price. God purchased your body. He purchased the right to use it for his glory. Now go back here to we're also in the sixth chapter. Just back up a few verses. Notice what it says in verse number 12. He said, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. Did you get a hold of that? All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. That's talking about, well, let's keep on reading. You'll see what he's talking about. Meat for the belly. We'd say food for the stomach. And the belly or the stomach for food. But God shall destroy both it and them. In other words, this natural body is not going to go to heaven. We're going to be changed into a glorified body. God shall destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. So he brings up two issues, you know. Our body is not just for sex. Our body is not just for food. There's two things he mentions there that we do with our bodies. But he said they're meat for the belly, food for the stomach, you know. He said, and all things are lawful for me. In other words, there is no New Testament law against eating sweets or... You know, Brother Ike talked about coffee. There's no law against that.
Amen.
How many of you are glad that God didn't say, now, don't do this, don't do that?
Amen.
But what he's saying is, it might not be to your advantage.
Right.
All things are lawful.
Right.
In other words, there's no law against me eating something nice and sweet and you doing it. Praise the Lord. We don't have to condemn one another. How many of you know the Bible said examine ourselves?
Right.
I'm not here to examine you. You're not here to examine me. He said, all things are lawful. In other words, we should let each other free from each other.
Yes. Amen.
The only real person that is between you is between you and the Lord and your spouse, if your spouse is involved, if you're married, you understand. But he said, all things are lawful. But he said, everything might not be. The word expedient means to your advantage. In other words, it doesn't mean it's sin necessarily to eat a piece of pie. Or to drink sodas or whatever, you know. But it might not necessarily be advantageous for you physically. There's no verse in the Bible that I know of that says, thou shalt not eat rat poison. Amen. Amen. It's all true. But yet we all know better. Well, there's some things that'll do damage just as much as rat poison, just does it slow. So we ought to be conscious of what our body is needing and not overdo it. I know this sounds so practical, you're amazed, but still, we've got to say it. Everybody look at your neighbor and say, thank God for the truth. So it might not be to our advantage, but it is not necessarily something that, is a sin before God. Now, the Bible says God made food for us to eat. The Bible says, for example, that the Bible has, there's two things that are sin. It's not food, eating food is not sin. And actually, do you know, in the New Testament, unless it's causing a brother to stumble, drinking wine is not necessarily forbidden. Now, there is a higher law called the law of love, you know. I don't drink wine. Because, if I'm out in the restaurant drinking wine, somebody might see me and say, oh, well, he does, so I can do it. But maybe they were drunkards before they got saved or whatever. They can't handle just a little bit. So in order to keep from anybody from being stumbling, from stumbling over what I do, I just don't drink it, you know. Hello? So I do that too. And leadership here at the church, we ask them not to do that for that purpose, not because the Bible said it's not right to ever drink alcohol. But it does say this, there is something that it does call sin, that is excess and drunkenness.
That's right.
Isn't that right?
Yes, sir.
It calls that sin. And you know, the same, that the word drunkenness is used a couple of times, that it calls it sin in the New and the Old Testament. But do you know that right beside that word both times is the word called gluttony?
Yeah.
See, it's not a sin to eat food. It's not a sin for me to have a rib. You understand? But I got to control it.
Yeah.
You understand? I got to control it.
Amen.
Everything in moderation.
That's right.
Come on now. I'm saying, I'm preaching better than your amen. No, notice what he said here. All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any.
Amen.
In other words, of anything. I'll not be brought under the power of the food that I eat.
Right.
You know, you can kind of get addicted to certain things, and before you know it, it's controlling you rather than you controlling it. I've had people say, well, I can quit anytime. And I say, well, go ahead and prove it. Do it then. Oh, boy, they get the shakes, man. Just cut it out for a month. Cut it out for a year. Cut it out. You understand what I'm talking about? I remember whenever I was a teenager, I grew up, you know, we grew up as normal as anybody else, just eating junk food and everything. And then you know what junk food is. You know what junk food is. You acted like you didn't, but you know what junk food is. But here's the point. You know, I grew up that way, and I never forget one summer during camp. We had a Christian camp we went to. Me and my friend had a contest so he could drink the most sodas whenever we, each day, who could drink the most sodas. And so, man, we were up to 7 and 8 a day, and going for, you know, 10 or 12. We were pushing for it. Man, how many of you know you get that much sugar going in you? I mean, you're just wired. And, because we weren't used to that much. But anyway, so, you know, we had that competition. So afterwards, I don't remember who won. But I remember I come home and I said to Mom, Mom, where's the soda? Now, she had always kind of controlled us, tried to control how much we drank as kids, you know. Yeah, right. I grew up now. It's not her responsibility to control that. Right. But, you know, your kids, you might want to control some of that.
Right.
Just a little pointer there. Just a little.
Amen.
But anyway, so, you know, if you're wondering why they're bouncing off the walls still at midnight, it's what you fed them, you know. So my mom, she had hid it. She hid it in her place of hiding at that particular time. Now, here's the thing was, you could find it and then not let her know you found it. You could use, it's called users. You could use it. Anyway. So she hid the soda and she hid it in the clothes closet. I mean, in the what do you call it, the hamper, the clothes hamper, dirty clothes hamper. Not necessarily a sanitary place, but it was unsuspected place. And I never forget, I came home and I said, Mom, where's the soda? And I don't know, just her mother, how many of you know mothers just know things? She realized that I had drank all this soda somehow. She just intuitively somehow knew it. And she said, you can't have any. Just don't drink any. I'm not going to let you have any for I forget how long, she said. Well, she was going to wean me off of that. So, I'll never forget it, to make a long story even longer. I said, all right, and I don't know why, unconsciously led. Now, this is not God's word of the Lord to you, you understand? This is not, thus saith God, do this, because pastor did it. I'm just saying I was unconscious, I just believe unconsciously led on the inside. I just realized whenever she said that, you can't have any, you're addicted from soda at camp. I realized I am addicted. I was drinking all that and I got addicted to it. You know, your body starts craving it and so forth. So I just kind of unconsciously out of my little spirit, I said, all right, I'm not going to drink soda for the rest of my life. I just said that. And I don't drink, you can ask my wife. I remember one time I had to, because man, I was so thirsty, and we, for some reason, I don't know why, we couldn't get to any water or something. She had half a soda left over. And so I just got to get something to wet my mouth. And I drank about half of the half, you know, about 1/4 of it. And I just couldn't hardly handle it. But but basically in life, I haven't drank sodas. Now, that's not God's word to you. You understand? I just decided, all right, rather than be addicted to it, I'm going to live free from it for the rest of my life. I don't feel like I'm missing anything. You know, I don't feel like I'm missing something that if you drop a 16-penny nail in it, it'll dissolve. I don't think I'm missing anything. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
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 Don't need all that acid in my stomach. Got plenty down there already. Amen. Some of you don't like it, but we're just going to preach it anyhow. So, you can do that. I'm not going to be brought under the power of anything.
Right.
I mean, there's things I get to like in them. You know, I told you about the barbecue chips because we eat pretty much, you know, we go out to eat too, but pretty much we eat organic. That's not God's rules to you.
Amen.
That's just something that I was led to do.
Amen.
And we went through cleansing to get all the toxins and stuff out, you know. And I'm just a whole lot more, you know, I just feel life in my skin. It's just amazing to get all those toxins out. But anyway, to say all that, I remember, you know, I got the, because I'm on this organic diet, but I'm still looking for things I like.
Yeah.
How many of you know you got things you like? So we found these, I don't think they're actually organic. Yeah, they were organic. They were organic barbecued chips. And, you know, organic things even have fat in them. You got to watch how much fat's in it, you know. But I looked at how much fat, and then I tasted them, and like, ooh, yeah. And I just forgot about all the fat, and I just started eating. I mean, you know you're addicted whenever you buy two bags, and you put one bag in the little place where they normally go, and you hide the other bag. See, you're laughing because you've done it. So I was buying the second bag and hiding them just for moi, just for me. She doesn't know they're there. But I started realizing one day, look at you. Look at how, I mean, you're getting sneaky. You're getting, you're deceiving. You're, this is bondage. So I just said, all right, that's it. She went to get groceries. I said, don't get those barbecue chips. If you want to get the ones, get the baked ones. And they're not near as good. You know, the flavor's in the fat, you know. But, you know, we made ourselves eat the ones that aren't any good. And after a while, you just don't want them at all because they're hardly any good. Amen. See, I just live that way. If I find myself getting addicted to something, I say, that's it. I'm not going to have it.
Amen.
That's good, Pastor. Amen. Yes. I'm almost done with that bread you gave us. And that's it. I'm not going to have any more. Amen. And I just don't eat. I don't live eating sweets a whole lot. I've eaten more in the last couple of years than I usually do. But I just don't live just cramming that stuff. See, you can get addicted to sugar. Do you know most Americans are addicted to sugar? They eat, I forget how many pounds every year. It's all processed and it's not really necessarily good for you. Anyway, praise the Lord. Now, think about this. Go over with me, if you would, to the book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter number 4. Everybody still loves me. Amen. Have to go to heaven, like somebody said. Praise the Lord. See, we just think, well, this is legalism. No, notice how we're approaching it. We're not approaching it like legalism. We're approaching it like not being brought under the power of something. We're approaching it, it's not advantageous for you. And it can cut your life short. Just like this man, remember the Bible said he dangerously, how did it say that? He exposed his body. He was nigh to death, recklessly exposing his body. You realize some people are having physical problems because they're exposing their body through all these wrong things that they're putting into it. Anyway, thank you for the amens. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. Notice with me verse number 4. This is the King James, first of all. He said, to every one of you, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. Now, the word vessel means his body. The Amplified says control or manage his body. In other words, what it's telling us there is our body is not to control us. Now, that includes our taste buds. You know, you can get a taste for something. I found out you can break that appetite for sugar. You can break that appetite for... Now, to be honest with you, I put something in my mouth and I can taste if a bunch of chemicals are in it. Because I've gotten all that stuff out of my system, you know.
That's good.
I can taste sugar.
Yeah.
I mean, there's sugar in the stuff we eat, you understand? But it's way down and it's natural and stuff like that. They keep the levels of it way down.
Yeah.
And but nowadays, you can taste. You just put something in your mouth that is made with processed sugar and all that. You can just taste it. But see, like for example, and this isn't legalism, you understand. This is just ways for me. I found ways to do it. We eat mostly ground turkey in whatever we eat. You know, if we make hamburgers or if we make stew or whatever. Rather than putting hamburger in it, we eat ground turkey. Now, I'm not preaching legalism. I know I've said that 7 times already, but I don't want you to start thinking, well, that's legalism. I'm not preaching legalism. I'm just preaching. This is a way we found.
Yes, yes.
And you can probably identify with some of these things, you know. However you and God work it out, hey, it's between you and God. But so we put ground turkey in there. And you know now to this day, after getting an appetite, because I really liked hamburger. And turkey seemed so bland, you know. But after a while, after getting used to turkey, I got taste buds. I got an appetite for that. And now I don't really like hamburger. You can control the appetites of your flesh by crucifying the flesh. You developed an appetite for it. Not everybody's born with an appetite for certain things. Those are developed. Those things are developed. But see, it takes managing. It takes discipline. It takes the fruit of the Spirit called temperance, the Bible calls it, to be able to do things like that. Amen. Can you say amen? Are you still mad at me? So you need to get a new exit strategy. How are you going to exit this life? Are you going to exit it with disease and all that because of all these stories? You know, a lot of cancers are because of so many processed chemicals in people's body. You know, we don't always talk about this because we always preach faith, but there's just some wisdom things that we have to recognize. And we can't override natural laws trying to exercise spiritual laws. Amen. If you don't like me, just wait till next service. I'll preach it. Well, maybe not. Maybe I'll preach on this again. Because it's going rather slow because of the hardness of the ears to hear it. Amen. Get another exit strategy. You don't have to die with cancer because you're all full of stuff. You know, most people's colon is so packed full of extra junk that it causes diseases just that being in there. Now, I don't want to get gross, but let me just explain something to you. How many of you know if you've been stopped up for a few days and then you go to the restroom, how many of you know it stinks a whole lot worse? I'm not trying to be gross. I'm just making a point. You listening to me? See, pastoral preaching is all different ways. You got to preach all different things. You can't just preach faith and healing and authority and all that all the time. Well, the reason it stinks is because the bacteria starts to build up. And most people's colon is packed full of that stuff. All that bacteria is putrefying. And how many of you know it causes disease? Well, you ought to learn to plunge it out. You ought to be extricating, is that the word? The politically correct word? You ought to be doing that two or three times a day. Do you know that? If you're not, if you're not, there's too much, it's all packed in there. Is there an escape hatch? Is there a button where I can push and it goes, this pastor disappears. We don't know where he went. Man, am I getting some looks. Amen. You know, some people they do autopsies on, they find between 40 and 70 pounds of just junk in their colon that's just stuck in there. Well, no wonder they look like this. You understand? Just junk in there, it got stuck. Most people don't get enough fiber to plunge it through. Yeah, anyhow. I take extra fiber every day. Not a law, just it makes me feel better. I'm more pleasant to be around as well. See, it's your body. You're the steward over it. God's called you to manage it. Notice what he said here, that everyone should know how to possess his vessel. In other words, the Amplified says manage or control his body. We need to learn to control our body. Amen. Hallelujah. How many of you believe Christians ought to lead the way in this area of what we eat and taking care of ourselves? We ought not be the ones that are following. Okay, the world says what? How do Christians have the Holy Ghost? They ought to be listening to what the Spirit's saying. Don't put that in your body. I remember years ago, this is even before I got married, I think. Just right before I got married, I think. Back in the, probably 80s. The Lord spoke to me, and I wasn't asking for it. He just spoke to me one day. He said, I want you to take care of three parts of your body. He told me which ones they were for me. Well, what I instantly knew was there's three areas that Satan's going to try to attack me. And so I take real good care of those three areas of my body. I find out what to do to take good care. See, one of them was my back. My Lord told me, take care of your back. Take care of your bones, really, is what he said. But I go to a chiropractor regularly, but not because, you know, I need it. Just because the Lord said, take care of your back.
Amen.
So I take real good care of that. And I take care of the other two, too. See, I'm not putting that on you as, okay, the Lord's telling me, take care of your back. Take care. See, what is it that pastor's doing? Do it. No, that's not. See, my body is unique. He knows what my body might be tempted to get weak in. And so he said, take care of those three areas. You know, over the years, whenever I look at different areas, I've gotten attacked. It's in those three areas. Well, see, if we'll follow the Holy Ghost, you have the Holy Ghost. If we'll follow the Holy Ghost, we'll be way ahead of the world. And I know every now and then he'll just say, stop eating so-and-so. Because he's taking care of one of the areas that he... And I don't know all the ins and outs about it. I remember one time, another one was my heart. The Lord said, take care of your heart. And that includes taking good care, not putting a lot of fat in your system, you know. well as exercise, you know, and there's other things. But I'll never forget one time years ago. See, before I understood all the, really was paying attention, all the dietary things. I'll never forget. I got to liking fettuccine Alfredo. And you know, fettuccine Alfredo has butter, cream. What else? It has all kinds of fat. And I just was eating it like, you know, there wasn't going to be any more after tomorrow. So eat some today, you know. I remember I'd go out to eat after preaching at a pastor's church. I'd go out and I'd eat fettuccine Alfredo. I'd get me a big plate. Now, mind you, it's 10 o'clock at night. Big plate of fettuccine Alfredo. I just got a hankering for it and got to eating it and got addicted to it. Well, I started laying down at night and, boy, I could feel that old heart. Boom, 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 boom. And I'm thinking, now in the name of Jesus, you know, I'm trying to take authority over that, but I couldn't get on top of it. I didn't put it together with the fettuccine Alfredo. Yeah. But I'll never forget one time, the Lord spoke to me, said, stop eating fettuccine Alfredo. Actually, what he said was, stop eating cream sauces, which included fettuccine Alfredo.
Right.
Now, he wasn't putting a legalism on me. He was telling me what my body is responding to is too much of that, and that's not to your advantage. I have over the years since that time, a few times, had things like fettuccine Alfredo, but just probably no more than two or three times, you know. Just ate a little bit of it. It wasn't a law, but it was a principle of wisdom. You understand? The Lord says, stop eating. I stopped eating it, and I stopped having those symptoms at nighttime. Well, after that, I remember we were in West Virginia, or Virginia. I think it was right on the line there somewhere. I don't forget which state it was. But anyway, we were talking to this pastor and his wife, and she was a nurse. And I said to her, oh, you're a nurse. What is in fettuccine Alfredo? Well, you know, back then, I'm just young. I was just married. And I said, what is in fettuccine? I wasn't really paying it. I didn't, you know, ask mom ever in my life, what's in this stuff? But I just asked her, I asked the nurse, what's in this? And she said, well, they call it a heart attack on a plate. She's telling me cream and cheese and all these things that's in her butter. And I mean, just fat, 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 fat. You know what I'm talking about? And praise the Lord. Well, see, the Lord was trying to tell me, take care of your heart. Take care of your heart. And so I couldn't just override my faith. I can't just override my conscience, in other words, and believe God and exercise faith. I have to respond to the Spirit in that area. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Now, this is in Galatians. Notice this. Galatians chapter number 6. This is verses 15 and 16. Galatians, and I'm going to read it in the Amplified version. I brought my Amplified. It says, for neither is circumcision now of any importance nor uncircumcision. Remember, that was a law under the Old Testament. They had to be circumcised. So he said, neither is circumcision anything nor uncircumcision of any importance, but only a new creation. Everybody say, I'm a new creation.
I'm a new creation.
The result of a new birth and a new nature in Christ Jesus, the Messiah. Praise God. So what he's saying is, the thing that's important to God now is whether a man's born again, not whether he's keeping the law, not whether or not he's following all the principles of the law in the Old Testament. So a man today has got to be born again. That's the only thing that's really of any importance to God. And then verse 16 in the Amplified, it says, peace, let me start back in the end of the 15th verse. But he said, only a new creation, the result of a new birth and of a new nature in Christ Jesus, the Messiah, is of importance. Peace and mercy be upon all who walk by this rule. Listen to that. Walk by the rule of what? By the rule of law, by the rule of circumcision or all that? No. He said, that's not important anymore. He said, the rule is in the New Testament, the new creation. Be born again.
Amen.
And then he said in verse 16, peace and mercy. Peace includes all the soundness and wholeness, you know. And mercy be upon all who walk by this rule. By what rule? By the rule of the new creation. All who walk by this rule, who discipline themselves and regulate their lives by this principle. By what principle? By the principle of the new creation. He said, we're to discipline ourselves by the principle of the new creation. Can you say amen? Can you say oh me? What are you going to say about that?
Amen.
In other words, the new man on the inside is to rule the man on the outside.
Amen.
And how many of you don't think that the inward man is going to govern your body in such a way that causes it to die prematurely because you didn't take care of it?
Come
No, the new creation by the Spirit of God in him is going to guide you in ways of taking care of your body so you finish your course.
Amen.
Amen. You realize that it's not good enough for you to say, okay, pastor's preaching on this. I'm going to lose some weight. Hey, I'm going to get down to a size whatever, and I'm going to look hot. That's not what it's about. We're not talking about looking good in your clothes. We're talking about health. You can look good and not be healthy because you starve yourself to death. You understand? We're not talking about the size of clothes you wear. We're talking about being a steward of what God gave you so that you can use it for Jesus. Can you say amen to that? Now go back here. I want you to see 1 Corinthians chapter number 6 again. I want you to notice how this says this. We don't preach this enough. One of the weaknesses of the charismatic movement, if you want to call us charismatics, is that the principle of crucifying the flesh and sanctification are not very much talked about. You understand what I'm talking about? Everything's the devil. The devil did it. Well, no, he just dangled the carrot in front of you and you went for it. Or let me rephrase that, the pie in front of you and you went for it. Well, let's rebuke the devil. It's not the devil, it's the flesh. It's called the lust of the flesh. Not the lust of the devil, it's the lust of the flesh. Amen. Now, don't look at people that maybe be larger of a larger size than you and say he's preaching them. You know, somebody that's a different size than a large person, that's a small person, they can be just as fleshy in these areas. You understand? We're not talking about the way people look. We're not talking about dress size or pant size or any of that. We're talking about living out of your spirit and governing your body. Diets are not what he's talking about. We'll get to that maybe if we can, maybe we'll pick this up another time. But here in the sixth chapter, notice we read these verses. We started in verse number 12 there. We read down through, but let's notice verse 13 again. He said, meat for the belly or food for the stomach and the stomach for food, but God shall destroy both it and them. In other words, those are just natural things. Now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord. The body, now pinch yourself, grab your arm or pinch yourself on your cheek or something. Say, this is for the Lord. In other words, God gave you this so that you could live down here. This is your earth suit. So you could live down here. You need an earth suit to live down here just like you need a space suit to live in the outer space. You have to have this body in order to live here. And he's saying the reason God gave you this body is for to use it for the Lord. You realize you can't do that whenever you're so medicated that you sleep half the day. When you don't have enough strength because you're not taking care of yourself. You understand? You know, I want to take care of myself so that when the anointing comes on me, I can endure under it. Because if we don't take care of ourselves, I've seen preachers come out of healing lines and huffing and puffing like a train going, you know, well, I knew why. You understand? Because they weren't taking care of themselves. And they couldn't last under that anointing. You realize if you can't last under it, it'll wane, it'll lift off of you. And you won't be able to function and fulfill what God wanted you to do. The body is for the Lord. And the Lord is for the body. I like that second part. See, we like this, that where the Lord is for the body. But you know the first part is true too. Our body is for the Lord. Do you realize that God is telling you, I'll be on the side of taking care of your body if you use your body to do what I call you to do? Amen. It's like a car. You know, you have a company car that you loan. Maybe you got a company. Some of you might have a company car. Well, it's not yours. You just drive it, but your purpose is for the company. You use it for the company. You realize that you're not to use it for yourself. You're using it for the company. Isn't that right? Well, this is what God's telling us. He's telling us that we are giving a body on loan, but he wants us to use it for him. We're to use it for God, not let the devil drive it. Not let the desires of the body drive it. Amen. Now, if we have that company car and we're putting bad gas in it and we're not changing the oil and not taking care of it, eventually it'll sputter to a halt at the side of the road and we can't do company business with it anymore. Well, you know, in the natural, you can replace a car, but you can't replace somebody's body. Is this all right? So don't let the devil drive. Don't let the flesh drive.
Amen.
Amen. Don't go on joy rides. Binges.
Amen.
Hello.
Amen.
Thank God for an escape clause called mercy.
Amen.
Epaphroditus got mercy, but you don't want to be trying to live on mercy.
Amen.
You see, if your idea of a balanced diet is having the same size of a double cheeseburger in both hands. Balance. You know, that's... Well, then you need to hear this service.
Amen.
Amen. Miss Piggy said, don't eat more than you can lift. If that's your idea of how to control your body, then you need another idea.
Amen.
Can you say amen?
Amen?
Praise the Lord. Say hallelujah. God's word is true.
Hallelujah.
You see, your body can disqualify you. If you don't take care of it, it can sideline you and distract you and keep you on the bench rather than on the field. Keep you from really fulfilling what God's called you to do. So praise the Lord. We are through the Spirit, Romans 8:13 says, to mortify the deeds of the flesh. Mortify means to kill them. Put them to a stop. Amen. Amplified says, all things are lawful or legitimate, permissible, and we are free to do anything we please, but not all things are helpful. Not all things are expedient, profitable, and wholesome.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
All things are legitimate, but not all things are constructive to character and edifying to spiritual life.
Right.
Now, that's in the context here of the body, you understand. Now, think about what he's saying is, he's saying that what we do with our body will affect our spiritual life. I found this out, that if I don't keep myself exercised and I eat the wrong kinds of things that make me real, real tired, then whenever God wakes me up to pray at night, I end up not doing it.
Yeah. Come on.
You understand? See, I need to be fit enough to where anytime the Spirit of God wants to use me, my body is able to be brought along. Amen. That's the kind of life we should live. It can affect my spiritual life if I don't take care of my physical body. No, there's not a law against eating something pleasant to the flesh or to the taste buds. But we do need to recognize it can't be overriding our conscience and it must be governed by our inward man.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. You still out there? You're going home.
Amen.
So thank God for the truth. So we can't just break natural laws and ask God to heal us. A lot of people today, diabetes is on the rise. Huge amounts of young kids now have diabetes. But a lot of it is due to the kinds of lifestyle they have and the diets they eat. Amen. They're not eating natural foods that God planned. They're eating boxed processed things. In the Old Testament, gluttony and drunkenness are always listed beside each other. We get on to people for being drunk. It ought to be we get on to ourselves for being gluttonous. We ought to eat to live, not live to eat.
Amen.
Amen. So praise the Lord. The control is the issue here. Being in control, not allowing the flesh to govern our body, govern our decisions. Decisions are to be made out of the spirit of man. We are to steward our body on behalf of God and not expose it through abusing it. Your ability to maintain your body and steward it is to the degree that you walk in the Spirit. These are things the Lord said to me. I'm just passing them on to you and I'm listening to them myself. You know, we say, well, I just can't. You know, I told you about the pastor's wife. We were out to eat with them and afterwards they said, do you want dessert? And I said, no, thank you. And she said, oh, the pastor's wife sitting across the table from, you know, the pastor and his wife there, and Debbie and I. And she said, oh, they got the best chocolate pie here. I said, oh, well, wonderful. I said, no, thank you. You know, it wasn't my business. I'm just taking care of myself.
That's right.
Not my business what they do. And she said, oh, I just can't pass it up. So she ordered chocolate pie, which is fine. That's you know, between her and God. Not my business. But she went on, she ate it. She said, man, she said, I don't see how you can do that. She said, I can't do that. I said, I noticed. She said, well, I just don't know how you can do it. I said, well, you just saw how I did. I said, no, thank you. I'm not going to have any. Yeah. And then I'd be a man of my word. She looked at me like, oh, I just can't do that. I said, I noticed. I said, I saw you. I noticed. See, you have to say a thing and then make your body come in line.
Amen.
Amen. This is it. You're not eating another piece. Or this is it. You're not going back for seconds. Amen. Come on, let's sing the chorus. Amen. See, you say it out of your spirit. Learn to where your inward man is in charge. Paul said, I keep my body under. It will not volunteer is the point. It will not say, okay, we don't want any more. Don't be controlled by external things. Meaning you're in the hospital with all kind of IVs in your body before you say, oh, okay, I don't want that stuff anymore. That's being controlled by external things. Be controlled by your spirit.
Amen.
The reason is not because people's flesh is so strong. It's because their spirit is so weak. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory be to God.
Amen.
The Bible said, lay aside every weight. And the sin that so easily besets it. If something is holding you back, including your physical body's health and so forth, then get rid of that and be a doer of the word. Live out of your spirit. Don't do it for somebody else's sake. Don't do it for you to look hot, look better in size 6 jeans or whatever. I don't know. But do it for God. Do it for Jesus so that your body can be the temple of the Holy Ghost and He can use it the best that He wants to. Amen? It is the highest form of self-abuse and laziness to ignore a situation Satan is using to kill and destroy in your life but never take control of it and get a hold of the steering wheel. See, people, you know, joy is directly connected. The Lord said this to me. He said, sanctification and joy are directly connected. A lot of people are upset at themselves because they never make themselves do the right thing. So they're not happy with themselves. Well, that's the highest form of self-abuse I can think of. Satan's using it to destroy your life, but you never get a control of it or get the steering wheel and say, now, this is the direction I'm going right here. You understand the way we're saying this? 1 John 5:18 says, he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one touches him not. You realize if we don't keep ourselves, the understood thing is that we will expose ourselves to the enemy, and the enemy will take advantage of us yielding to the flesh. We have many adversaries, but he prepares a table, in this case a table of freedom, for us in the presence of our enemies, being pie and all the other stuff. Hello. There's a table of freedom spread for you, but you have to say no thank you to the bondage and yes, I receive from the table of freedom.
Amen.
Here's the truth about the enemy. He tells people you can't. But you got to recognize all these enemies that are telling you can't. They're all a bunch of lies. I've found that the things that the devil says I can't do are the things that are really just a smoke screen. He's a liar. He makes things look big. You know, the devil will say, you can't do it. You've tried. Well, see, you've done it in your willpower. Paul didn't say, I'm going to do this with willpower. He said, I purpose in my spirit. And he said, this is what I'm going to do. He purposed not in his mind. It wasn't a New Year's resolution, you know, which is just a mental thing. It was something he did in his spirit. Now, if you'll learn to do it out of your spirit, which is where the fruit of temperance is, which is control, you know, you'll do it out of your spirit, you can do anything. Literally, you can do anything. You can have what you want to have. You can be free where you want to be free. You can work out enough to have a strength, a level of strength that'll keep you going, you know. You can do anything. Aren't you glad that God gave us the greater one on the inside of us to put us over? Greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. And greater is he that's in us than the lust of the flesh as well. So the enemies, whether inward or outward, meaning inward, meaning the lies that are coming to our minds, there's just nothing to them. I've found that the devil puts up smoke screens and there's no reality to them. The things that he say are always deceptions. They're not reality. But the Bible said this. I love John chapter number 17. Jesus said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. You can be separated from the desires of the flesh through the power of the word of God. And you can be free from all the lies. All the lies that say I can't. The truth is, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You can say that over yourself, meditate on that, and feed that into your spirit to the degree where the desire to be free gets stronger. And it overpowers the flesh's desire for the things that are causing the problems. Laziness or whatever it may be. Am I still preaching in the right room? So the can't is only a shadow. It is a lie. It is an appearance of something that is not reality. The truth of God's word is called, thy word is truth. The word truth means reality. The truth is reality. Yeah. The devil says you can't because it may be past experiences or whatever. But God said you can do all things.
Amen.
Through Christ who strengthens you. See, that's that inward man Jesus formed in you as a believer.
Amen.
You can do it. So cast down the lies through the truth of God's word and live free. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Purpose in your spirit. Galatians 5 says the fruit of the spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, temperance. It means self-control. That's why Paul said, I keep my body under. I control my body. You do it through the nature of God within your spirit. It's a force of your born-again human spirit. Amen. The Bible said, be strong in the Lord be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. So you can do it through the power of the Holy Ghost within you and the power of the Word of God. Amen. This is not being disciplined by the power of self-control, just by willpower alone. This willpower is involved, but temperance is a force that comes out of your spirit and affects your will. It is the force of God that enables you to hold fast to the decision that you made.
Amen.
Amen. There's a decision you can make out of your spirit which will last for the rest of your life.
Amen.
I'm just preaching like Jesus told me to do this morning. Hebrews 12:1 says, with patience we're to run the race that's set before us. The force of patience keeps you constant. You ever notice diets are not constant? Diets are just for a period of time. But patience is keeping you constant until you cross the finish line. Well done.
Yes.
Amen. People give up because they have prolonged pressure of the flesh hollering at them, I would love a piece of pie. Now, I'm not putting you in condemnation. I'm just saying we all live here and we all know where our line is, you know. Patience is the force that keeps you constant when the flesh is screaming at you.
Amen.
Amen. Why do people give up? Because they have prolonged pressure with too many options. There should be no other options. If for you, I'm not putting the law on you, but I'm just saying if whatever God's dealing with you about, let's just pick something out. God says, now stop eating all the fat and the hamburgers and stuff like that. If for you, you make a quality decision out of your spirit, having fed your spirit to the point that it can dominate you and control you, you can live that way for the rest of your life. And it won't be an up and down roller coaster thing. Amen. It's a decision not made out of your flesh, it's made out of your spirit. Anybody can crucify the flesh for a day or a week through willpower. But patience is a finisher. Patience grows across the finish line. I'm talking about, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Patience is a force of the anointing within your spirit to go all the way to there it is, all the way to God's best, all the way to your high calling, your complete health, your harvest. It goes all the way past the blade, past the ear, to the full corn in the ear. It goes through all the phases of your life. It lives to see your grandkids and help them serve God. Amen. It gets to the end of your race. Don't accept status quo. The Bible says, be not conformed to this world. I'm almost done. Still with me?
Yes.
Romans 12, 1 and 2. Be not conformed to this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The word conform means to press into a mold by pressure.
Yeah.
You ever seen them, they make bowls, plastic bowls out of a press that presses it into its mold, you know. That's what this is talking about. There is a press that you're going to have to press in order to get past the flesh. You're going to have to, the word press means to shape form or mold materials into a mold. It means to exert a steady force upon. Just steady. Amen. It means to require immediate action. In other words, the press of the Spirit will not keep you pressed into the form of the world. The Bible says endure hardness, which means pressure, as a good soldier. Get a soldier mentality about you. Get a discipline mentality, not a citizen mentality. Soldiers and athletes and people that are on a mission, they control their diet. They control what they're putting into themselves. They control what they do. They control whether they sleep in. The buzzer goes off at 4 a.m. They get themselves up. Amen. Hello. The Bible says the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. The word violent is translated press in many places in the New Testament. So what he's saying is he's talking about the kingdom of heaven suffereth pressure. It suffers resistance. It suffers opposition. Two things it's referring to, the adversary, the devil, and the flesh's pressure that it puts on your spirit. The flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. Did you ever read that verse? So there's pressure of the flesh on your spirit, and these are contrary the one to the other, that you cannot do the things you would. But he said, the violent take it by force. In other words, those that press take it by force. Say it this way. Say it out loud. Those that press possess. That's what he's talking about. If you want to possess some territory, it's going to take some press. It's going to take some exertion of the force of the fruit of the Spirit to get to where you want to be. Amen. You there? You're going home. Glory to God. Don't blame it on somebody else. Choose you this day who you're going to serve. Are you going to serve the Almighty processed sugar? Or are you going to serve the Spirit of God in your spirit? Amen. I'm just obeying God, so I'll be going right after this. Amen. What are you going to serve? He said in the Word of God, choose you this day who you will serve. He said, I set for you life and death. See, people want to blame the devil whenever it's choices they've made. They didn't make the choice out of their spirit. They made it out of their flesh because the flesh wanted something. It wanted to be lazy. Amen? So make a quality decision. That's half the battle, folks. Making a decision out of the fruit of the Spirit, not a decision out of willpower or out of a New Year's resolution. Remember the Bible said, let not your heart be troubled. Don't let yourselves, the Amplified says, be anxious and afraid. Do you realize that if you and I are troubled, anxious, or afraid, we let ourselves be that way? Do you realize that we are the ones who made the decision is what he's talking about? Well, that's true about a lot of things. A lot of people just aren't free yet because they haven't decided to be free yet. Hello? Don't blame somebody else. People are big on blaming other people. Well, he beats me. Well, I always want to say, you picked him. Well, kids, I wasn't driving. The other teenagers were driving whenever they were drunk. I wasn't driving. Yeah, but you picked them as your friends. And you chose to get in the car. You know, there's a lot of people, they want to lay everything off on everybody else. One of the things I thank God for is my parents didn't let me lay it off on my brothers or lay it off on my sisters. Amen. Ladies, sometimes they stay in abusive relationships. Well, he beats me. Well, you're a big girl now. Amen. You're a big girl now. Hallelujah. I'm almost done. Everybody say, he's almost done. 1 Kings 3:9, Solomon said, give me wisdom and an understanding heart that I may discern good and evil. Basically, he asked to be able to make right decisions. Amen. In life, people who work the hardest are not necessarily the most successful. It's people who make the right decisions. Glory be to God. The ones who decide to live by the spirit man within them rather than the flesh, who discipline themselves to live by the principles of the word. Praise God. It's not supposed to be hard. The Bible said the way of a transgressor is hard. Glory to God. Why is it with them of the last five people said something to us that we say, well, bless God, I don't believe it. Well, see, they got the Holy Ghost too. Praise God. You can improve yourself in these areas. 1 Corinthians 14:4 says, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue improves or edifies himself in the Amplified. You can improve various areas of infirmity or weakness of your flesh. You can build up your spirit man and develop strength of spirit through praying in tongues, through praying in, just a prayer life in general, feeding on the word, until you come to the place where you are free from even the temptation. You've conquered it.
Amen.
There are things in my life that I used to be bound by. Today, it's not even a temptation. How about you? There's probably areas like that in your life. Is that right? Remember Ephesians 6:10. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. So depend on Him. Learn to depend on Him. Depend on Him within your spirit. Not depend on somebody else. Is any among you afflicted? Let him call the pastors. Huh? No. Let him call. Is any afflicted? Let him pray, the Bible said. If you're going through a test or a trial, see, it'll hinder your faith to always have somebody else propping you up. Learn to live out of your spirit and make the right choices regardless of what anybody else does.
If you would like more information about Pastor Jay Eberly's ministry, please visit us on the web at soffc.org or call us at 319-366-2147, or you can write us at Spirit of Faith Family Church, Post Office Box 8355, Cedar Rapids, Iowa 52408. And remember, God loves you, and you're equipped to live victoriously in every area of life.